Hello, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Young Israel's Messiah Clifton, continuing our Daf HaShavua in Halachic Insights into the Daf series. Tonight's shiur is on Daf Yud, Moiseches Moed Katan Daf Yud, and the topic that's being discussed is Prakmatia, or doing business on Chol HaMoed. And we begin with a very short Gemara, what seems to be an innocent Gemara, but I remember my Rebbe Parnas Shlita always would say, sometimes the ones, the Gemaras that look the most innocent are the ones that really give you a run for your money type of thing. And I would say that this Gemara falls into this case also. All we have are two lines, and these two lines bring up so many issues and so many complications and even halachic shailas that still affect us today when it comes to Chol HaMoed. What's the Gemara? The whole Gemara is the following. It's towards the bottom of the Amud, 10 lines from the bottom, discussing a whole bunch of malachos and certain times where we make allowances and heterim on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara quotes Rava and says, Vama Rava, prakmatria kol shehu aser. Business, any type of business, as Rashi says, lasos schor b'chol HaMoed. Which means buying and selling and doing what we would call doing business, that is forbidden. And how much is forbidden? Kol shehu, even the slightest amount. And comes Rav Yosef bar Avin, and Rav Yosef bar Avin, he comes and says and qualifies it with a davar ha'avod mutar. And what we call something is a davar ha'avod, that is permissible. So we see that business, or doing business on Chol HaMoed, is totally, totally forbidden, with the only allowance being davar ha'avod. Now, we're going to break the shir down into a couple of components. The first component is trying to understand this isser that we have in the Gemara. And to introduce this question, I wanted to just quote to you from the Aruch HaShulchan, Siman Tav Kuf Lamed Tes, Sif Beis. And I just want to read you the words. And the words of the Aruch HaShulchan are very poignant and very striking. And the Gemara, the Aruch HaShulchan tells us the following. V'yesh l'havin. And what you try to understand. Hamas u'matan afilu b'shabbos u'v'yontif einu midoraisa ela midirei kabbalah. Doing business even on Shabbos and Yontif proper is only asur from the words of the Nevi'im. The meaning does not have the status of an isur deraisa. Dichsiv mimso chefsecha. As the pasuk says, "Davar davar," it says that you know one of the things that you should do in Tarshav Yarv Shabbos Raglecha, the psukim in Yishayahu that some say for Kiddush, it's part of the Haftorah Yom Kippur morning, and it says that you should relax on Shabbos and hold back from doing imso cheptecha, from finding your items, your things, from doing business. In fact, in the Zemiros of Friday night, we say chafetzecha bo asurim lasos cheshbonos. Okay, so we said you can't do business, but this comes from the Navi. Right? The Hem b'shavusei Shabbos, this is what from the Navi, which is put into the category of an Isser d'Rabbanan. Uma asru rachso, that's our Shulchan asks, ma'ru ra'u chachamim la'osru b'chol HaMoed. So what did the chachamim see to asru this in Chol HaMoed? De'afilu l'man desfiru le'meleches Chol HaMoed de'oraisa. Because even if you want to hold that the whole concept of doing melech on Chol HaMoed is de'oraisa, pshita de'masu matan eno migrora de'oraisa. It's definitely not de'oraisa. Ba'od, Hi, the Amar Rava Prakametri Kol Shehu. What is Rava saying? That the only type of business is usher. Hafilu malachos gemuros, even complete malachos mutaros kol shehu are completely allowed. Kemoshe yisbarer b'sif simin tov kuf mem. Kemostakum shebegag b'tzirei delas, like fixing cracks in a roof and the peg on the door. We just finished at the beginning of the Amud talking about times when sewing is allowed. So why is the Gemara so insistent that prakamachi and Chol HaMoed is usher, when the whole nature of the isser itself, or the whole isser itself, is only a derabbanan? So I wanted to present two isurim, two possibilities in Machlokas Rishonim. And the first opinion is the Nimuke Yosef. The Nimuke Yosef basically tells us the reason is it falls under a category of many things that we don't do on Shabbos and Yontif and Bar Chol HaMoed also, Zeir Shema Yichtov, that we're afraid that a person's going to come to write things down. And we know that Ksiva is a malach, and Ksiva is not mutar on Chol HaMoed. It's not one of these malachos that is generally permitted. In fact, I remember when I was a kid, so my school that I went to used to have school, at least for the last year, I was in sixth grade, we used to have school in Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Chol HaMoed Pesach, obviously, you're not going to have any school in a school because the Isurim of Chametz and the difficulty of cleaning out the rooms and stuff like that, that's way too much, especially in an elementary school. So we weren't going to have school in Chol HaMoed Pesach, but Chol HaMoed Sukkot we used to have for a couple of days. Gave kids a chance to eat in the sukkah, gave kids a chance to bench lulav. Now we don't do it in general. Most of the schools, even the day schools, are closed on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. But I remember going to school, and I remember also them telling us that we can't do regular writing, but you have to do some type of a shinui. So again, whether it was really so halachically permissible or not, per se, you know, when our non-Jewish first grade English teacher told us to write, and we allowed us to write in with crayons and markers, so in first grade we had a great time doing it. Again, my first grade English teacher, I don't believe, was Jewish, so I don't think she was really such an expert on Hilchos Chol HaMoed, but that's what they told her. Okay, so she did it. Anyways, Ksiva is an important malacha, and it's something which is Asur on Chol HaMoed, and the Nimuke Yosef is of the opinion that if you allow a person to do business, what's going to happen? How are you going to remember all the transactions? You have to put things into a ledger, you have to keep your accounts, you have to keep your records. Doing all this will lead to Ksiva, and that itself is problematic. So this is why Rabbi said that you can't do prakamachi on Chol HaMoed. Comes the Rosh, and the Rosh has a totally different take on it. And what the Rosh says is important because it really sheds a light on what exactly Chol HaMoed is all about. Let me explain. The Rosh tells us that the whole issue that we're afraid of is that it's going to detract from our Simchas Yontif. Now let me ask you a question. I can say, when Rabbi says prakamacha kol shehu, any type of business is asur on Chol HaMoed, I might ask a question and say, listen, there are all different types of business deals. You're telling me that I can understand the mela that, okay, if there's a deal that I'm going to go into and I'm going to lose $5,000 or I'm going to lose my shirt, you're right, that's going to detract from my Simchas Yontif. But if I have a deal where I can make a killing, where I can make $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, you're going to tell me that by not doing this, it's going to take away from my Simchas Yontif? I'll tell you Adarabba. I'll tell you just the opposite. I will tell you this would absolutely enhance my Simchas Yontif. What greater Simchas Yontif a person could have when they make $1 million on Yontif? So the truth is, this Shita of the Rosh is explained also by the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Yerushalmi that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, as far as the actual Isser or Derabbanan of Chol HaMoed, those who say that Chol HaMoed is Asur Midrabbanan, it's a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says, Amar Rav Abba Bar Mamo, Yul Hayali Misha Yimna Yimni. If I was around at the time when the Chachamim decided which malachos are Asur and which malachos are Mutter, there was the Hitarati Sheh Yosef Malacha B'Chol HaShemoed. I would say that you should please do any malacha you can. Do everything. And what was his reason? It was a little bit more sarcastic. It says, Klu Masru Lasos Malacha B'Chol HaShemoed. Ella kadesh you ochlim v'shosim v'yigin b'torah. What happens? The reason why we're allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed is to give us time to eat and to drink and to really what? It's all to help enhance our Simchas Yontif. And what's a Simchas Yontif? To be osik b'torah. And for those who aren't osik b'torah, to get the dovig and a kadosh baruch hu, to understand it, to take the time out, and to make it a spiritual experience. And Rav Avraham Bar Mamel, already from the times of the Gemara, commented and said, these people go ahead, they eat and drink and have a good time. They eat, drink, and be merry. It's nothing to do with Simchas Yontif. And the whole problem of, according to the Rosh, of taking away your Simchas Yontif is that we're not judging it on a dollars and cents or a bottom line type of thing. Because that's not the issue that's dealing at hand. We're not dealing with a bottom line. Just the opposite, or a different type of bottom line we're dealing with. The bottom line that we're dealing over here is Simchas Yontif. Simchas Yontif meaning, when am I going to have the availability to stop and to think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to think about the Yontif itself? How often do we think on Chol HaMoed Pesach about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Once the Seder's away, we put the Haggadahs away, or we put the Seder plates away. A lot of people keep Haggadahs around for benchers. You put the Seder plates away, we're not talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim so much anymore. We're talking about, what are we doing on Chol HaMoed? How was our Chol HaMoed? Well, I went to the zoo, I went to the concert, I went to the beach. I did whatever I could. That's what we're talking about. So the idea is if a person is allowed to do business on Chol HaMoed, the Rosh says, what's going to happen? You're going to be busy. You're going to talk about transactions. You're going to have to take a look at your inventory. You're going to have to decide whether this is a good thing, whether this wasn't a good thing. You might get torahed. You might be worried about a deal. But the one thing is definitely not going to happen, and that's your focus is not going to be on the avodah of Simchas Yontif. And because of that, there were restrictions put on Prakamachya completely, because this money, monetary transactions, these are things that will totally take a person's attention and a person's focus away from Simchas Yontif. Now, what would be a nafkamina between the two reasons? So I'll give you one which is a little bit more of a lumdish nafkamina, and meaning more of a nafkamina in theory, and the second one which is a more nafkamina in a little practicality, even though the truth of the matter is, both of them are not as nogeya today. The first one, unfortunately, the second one, maybe not as unfortunate. I'll explain. The first nafkamina has to do with hektish. We know that a person in the times of the Beis HaMikdash has the ability to be makdish or to consecrate any of things of his property, whatever he wants, and they can use it and it can be restricted to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I want to consecrate my chair. It doesn't necessarily mean that my chair is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. What I could always do is I could always redeem my chair and give that value to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Being makdish on Shabbos and Yontif is not something that we do. The question is, can you do it on Chol HaMoed? And with this, it really depends on what we consider to be the reason for the Isra Prakamachya. If you're going to say the Isra Prakamachya is going to be because a person might come to writing so well, there's writing. Who's going to make the transactions? The Gizbar, the person in charge of Hektish, is going to be writing stuff down. You might be writing down also and saying, listen, I was designating this thing for Hektish, and therefore it's not available for my own personal property. But as far as Tirdan, as far as Simchas Yontif, a person is ready to, a person goes and is worried about making his own money. Believe me, the stuff that he's giving away to Hektish, he's not thinking about bottom line, oh, let me go ahead and give a little bit more. Halavai, a person should be thinking about giving a little bit more. But the mindset that a person has when it comes to giving stuff to Hektish is definitely not the same type of mindset that he has in terms of fixing his bottom line. So there really wouldn't be that issue of tiered. That's the first answer. Well, that's the first case, which, again, we see that's not no get today, unfortunately, because we're not in the situation where we have a Beis HaMikdash. The second, again, would fit a little bit more of a Middle Ages paradigm, and I'll refer to you for the Tosos, which says Dibur Maschil Prakmatia Kol Shehu, and Tosos quotes the following: Pirush Rabbeinu Yitzchak B'Tshuvaso, or the Re, explain the following in his Tshuva: Ki Rabbeinu Yaakov Lo Hayachoshiv Halvas Ribis Prakmatia. That Rabbeinu Yaakov, who is of course Rabbeinu Tam, did not consider lending money with interest to be business. What are we talking about? So we are all familiar with the concept that during the Middle Ages, there were very few positions that Jewish people were allowed to have. One position that they were allowed to have was to be the money lenders. And of course, even though the Torah tells us, Im kesef talves ami yisani machlos yelochinosha, right? You're not allowed to go ahead and take interest. What the Torah tells us in Parshas Kitetze is, you're allowed to take an interest for a non-Jew. You're allowed to go ahead and give interest for a goy. And this was, in fact, a common occupation of Jews during the Middle Ages. Of course, those who are familiar with The Merchant of Venice that Shakespeare wrote, the Shylock character was based on the stereotypical Jew who is the moneylender. So the question is, could a person lend money to a goy on Chol HaMoed with interest? So again, same type of thing. What is the iser of doing prakamatcha? Is it because we're afraid that basically just in terms of the physical action of the prakamatcha, which is going to come to writing? Well, if that's the case, then yeah, definitely there's a money lending is definitely going to lead itself to writing. You have to write down the transaction. But if you're going to talk about the implications of it, where a person is going to be totally involved, and it's to the point where it's going to take away his Simchas Yontif, well, again, we're not dealing with investing and with the inventory and should I sell and should I not sell and so on. It's a very simple thing there. You lend, you collect, and that's it. There's really not much thought going into it. So because there's not much thought into it, this would not be something which would impinge on our Simchas Yontif. And in fact, that's why, according to this Mandi Amar of the Rush, one would be allowed to lend money with to a guy with interest on Polaroid. So we see, again, a divergence of opinions as to what the issue is, and how, again, how reasoning is so important, because the reasons that you have definitely have halakhic implications afterwards. Let's take another aspect of this thing, of this idea, of this topic. And the topic was that the Gemara gave a heter, and the heter of Yitzchak Rav Yossi Bar Avin was that by Dvar HaAved is mutter. Dvar HaAved, something which is a monetary loss, is mutter. The question is, what do we consider to be a Dvar HaAved? And there happened to be two shitos. One of them, which is brought down in name of Tosos, and Tosos says Ubedavar HaAved mutter. Tosos says Pirish Bedavar. Or so Pirish, he explains, Bedavar, we're dealing with something. Shem lo yikmerenu atov, you don't sell it now. Shem lo yikmerenu yofe pamacheres, v'yafsed mina keren. You're going to lose from the principal. You're going to get a loss on the investment. You're going to lose money on your deal. Aval, but Tosa says, im lo yafsed mina keren. Elo shalo yarvi kol kach. You're not going to lose your principal, but you're not going to get such a profit. Ein ze chashuv davar ha'aved. That's not considered to be Dvar HaAved. So, happens to be the Ritva quotes a Shita which disagrees with this and calls it a Dvar HaAved. So if you want to put in practicality, let's say you have something which is worth, say you have $500 worth of inventory, and your $500 worth of inventory, so let's say the case is like this. If you sell in a Chol HaMoed, you can make $400 worth of profit. If you sell it after Chol HaMoed, you can make $100 worth of profit. So according to Tosos, that's not considered to be a Dvar HaAved. According to the second Shita brought down in the Ritva, that would be a Dvar HaAved. Tosos would say a Dvar HaAved would mean that if I don't sell it now, I would, my value, my retail might go down to 400 by the time I sell it, and then I won't make any profit whatsoever, but I'm going to get enough. If I'm not making a profit, I'm going to incur a loss. So again, that is the question as far as what is Dvar HaAved. If we're talking about Dvar HaAved though, right, so what's this machlokas based upon? So I thought, so it brought down the name of Eliyahu Rabba, but that again, Dvar HaAved is rationalized by the fact that we're dealing with Simchas Yontif. And for explaining Simchas Yontif, the way that the Rosh explained it before, and the way that the Erech HaShulchan explained the Rosh, the idea of Simchas Yontif meaning that a person needs to be open and available to think about Yontif, to think about the time, to be osek in spiritual matters, and if a person doesn't do it, so that's going to go ahead and cause a loss of the question, right? And that's going to go ahead, and this is going to take away from his Simchas Yontif by losing this money. So again, that would again be allowed. So a person's Simchas Yontif, he's not settled, he's not at ease, so he's not going to be able to focus on Simchas Yontif also. So the question is, what defines this idea of Dvar HaAved? According to Tosfos, we're defining it very simply. It's a very tangible thing. It's defined in monetary loss. Dvar HaAved is if you lose money on it. If you lose money, so that loss of money, that's going to create the Dvar HaAved. However, the other shita might hold that it's not the question of the Dvar HaAved, the actual loss of money. It's not something tangible. It's something which is a tsar based upon not profit. Meaning, if I don't go ahead and I lose some kind of money. So there are two components going on over here. I lose money in a business deal. So first of all, physically, I'm going to lose money. But I'm also going to feel distressed about it. The question is, what is creating, which part of the loss in the transaction is creating the heter? Is it the sense of tsar that comes about through my loss of money? Or is it the physical loss of money? So if you're going to say it's a physical loss of money, so then, yeah, when you have something that's not a physical loss of money, even though you might not be gaining something, it's still not going to be enough compelling reason to matir it. But if you're going to say that the whole mechayev is the tsar that a person feels through a loss, so then we could extend it even to where a person might lose out for a profit. Now, it happens to be in many shaylas that are brought up, what about if it's like a once in a year type of thing? Let's say a person is in a business where they have a giant fair once a year, and that once a year happens to be they're doing Chol HaMoed. So those are different shaylas that we're talking about altogether. But what we're talking about is just a basic Dvar HaAved. Now the final thing is then happens to be that if you walk around on Chol HaMoed, you'll see many stores that are open. And the question is, what generates that heter to allow stores to be open? And it happens to be that there are many answers given to this. One of them is the Machzis HaShekel. And the Machzis HaShekel tells us that her simple reason is the following. That a person's afraid that if I go ahead and don't open up my store, my customers are going to go elsewhere. And what am I afraid of? I'm afraid that if my customers go elsewhere, they're not going to come to me. And by doing so, by not coming to me, that's going to present me not only a loss of profit, according to the second sheet in the Ritva, but it's eventually going to cause me a loss of keren. Because again, if I don't have people who are coming into my store eventually, I'm going to be losing not only my profits, I'm going to be losing my principal as well. But what's interesting is that the Machzis HaShekel brings down that a storekeeper should make some type of a shinoi. He should only leave one door open. Now, I guess you keep, if the store has two doors, so you only keep one of them, just to let people know that you're really only doing this because of Dvar HaOved, but really it's not a complete heter to do business. Now, truth of the matter is, I don't know if this is practical today, we have fire codes, we have safety violations, we have implications as far as that is about a person being responsible for the value, for the safety of its customers. But I was told of a certain store, a certain food store, which is open in Chol HaMoed, as food stores are allowed to be open in Chol HaMoed, again, selling for Tzorach HaMoed and so on. But what they do is they actually don't leave all their lights on. They actually have a section or two which has the lights off, and that is the shinui that they are providing themselves to show again that even though prakmatia is not really allowed for a Dvar HaOved, it is allowed, but to show that I'm only doing it because of a Dvar HaOved, I'm going to be making that shinui. So just to conclude, we spoke about the nature of prakamachi, why it's usher. We brought a machlokus between the Nimuk Yosef and the Rosh, whether because it's a problem of leading to ksiva, or whether it's going to be a pagam in your actual simchas yontif. We brought down two definitions of what exactly a Dvar HaOved is, and how Dvar HaOved, according to the Rabbah, stems from, again, an impingement on Simchas Yontif through loss of money. And we said, is it related to the actual loss, or is it the actual tsar, the implication being that it would make a difference, does it make a difference if a person's going to lose profit, or actually just lose principal? And then we spoke about the heter for stores to be open. Again, Dvar HaOved, losing potential customers, but doing so with the shinui, again, to respect this isser of prakamachi on Chol HaMoed. Kol tuv, have a wonderful day.